Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, connoisseur of the hats, master of the grills, lover of the lenses, my guy, Jody. What's up, Joe?
What's good, bro? We might have to stop with the master of the grills. I don't even work there like that anymore, bro.
Really? Do we have a life update? Is that what you're giving us right now? Hit us with the life update, Joe.
I work full time at my other job now, and so I'm only working there 2 days till 11:30. So I don't even have to like cook if I need to anymore.
Let's go.
Yeah, just keep that's why it's only Sunday Mondays. Yeah, I mean I don't even eat there like that really, but it's just extra bread until we can see if I could survive with just that those checks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Well, in terms of, I guess you gave a life update. I could give a quick life update, you know?
Yeah.
School is almost over. We're in the last week of school.
Dang.
Which is great.
That's nice.
It's great.
How was spring ball?
It's been kind of interesting, right? Because so we're doing spring football here and there when we can, but because we're so small, it's been tough because our baseball team they're in the regional semifinal of the playoffs right now.
Uh-huh.
So they're two series wins away from state.
That's crazy.
So they're doing really well. And I've actually enjoyed, I was just talking to another coaching friend of mine recently. And I was telling him, I actually really enjoy just hanging out in the dugout and watching their games. And I don't have to coach. I can just like hang out and be like Mr. Positive and get, you know, dap the kids up, let them know they're doing a good job. And I don't have to coach anything. There's no stress. Like, obviously, I want them to win. But there's not the same stress as like just a fan guy hanging out in the dugout as like when I'm coaching. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of an interesting change of pace for me. But our baseball team's doing so well. And every single kid who plays baseball for us also plays football. They're basically the same.
That makes sense.
A lot of the same kids. Like the core of our football, baseball, basketball teams are all the same. So, and they've had a really good year. They won a playoff game in football, two playoff games in basketball. They won two playoff series so far in baseball. So,
dang, that's sick.
Doing a lot of good stuff. And so part of me is, you know, like bummed because we haven't gotten to do as much football as I'd like to. But the other part of me says that it's kind of a good thing because it means we're doing so well in baseball. But we are doing some 7-on-7 stuff, and we're prepping. At the end of the month, we have a 7-on-7 qualifier tournament. So in Texas, what they do in the summertime, in June, there's like a state 7-on-7 tournament.
Dang.
And you go to these qualifiers to qualify to go to state. So we're doing that at the end of the month regardless. So we'll see what happens with our baseball team. But they're doing a great job, and we're having a lot of fun with that. So that's all going well. I'm moving this summer, but I'm moving into a house, moving out of the apartment into the house. So moving up in the world a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, things are going well enough here that I guess you could say plant some roots a little bit.
Yeah.
Sticking around for a little bit, which if you know me has been, it's hard to do in coaching. And so I'm really enjoying it and I'm loving life right now. So we'll figure we stick around for a little bit. So that's been life advice or life update.
I was gonna say I could drop another one real quick as to why we haven't really been recording. We've just been traveling. At least I know I was the week after the draft. I was gone for literally like a whole week, and then with the new job coming in, it was like the hours we used to record don't really match up anymore. So it's like it's been a bunch of rotating doors we gotta wiggle through. You know?
Yeah, and honestly, the spring is crazy. You know, we finished up track season, and then it was the draft, and then it was, you know, one thing or another in terms of school finishing up. So it has been kind of crazy on my end as well. I do have we can start bringing back now that draft season's over. We can start bringing back everyone's favorite segment at the end of the pod.
Yeah, thanks. I got a good one for today if you want me to go tonight.
No, I got one too, and I think we should double up.
Okay,
I think we should double up. on the recommendations today.
In a while, so, for sure.
it's been a hot minute, and we're going to give those out today. So excited for that, but we're going to get to our draft recap. And yes, we know we're 3 weeks late. We know everyone else has already fired their draft takes at you. We're going to fire ours now. All right. Okay. So Joe, my first question, what was the biggest surprise of the draft to you?
To me, I mean, for me, realistically, I only focus in the first round. So whatever else comes out of my mouth afterwards, everyone can take their own pick at what they think about it. But for me, I'm going to say Ricky Pearsall to, what do you go, the Niners? Is that where he went?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so when I was at the airport at this time, I was watching a feed with like CJ Stroud, and he looked like upset that he wasn't able to get them in the second round. You know what I mean? So for us, like considering we didn't talk about him really, like you and Mitch brought him up when you guys were discussing at the end of that one, but we didn't, like he wasn't one of our core, what, six or seven dudes we talked that day. So I think to me that was like a big surprise for me seeing him go that early, you know?
And I mean, he was a guy that we kind of liked. There was just so many receivers this year that, we didn't have the room on the pod to really get to him. I wasn't like absolutely shocked he went in round one, but it did feel a little high. It felt like he was a round two, early round two guy, but he snuck into round one. And if you like a guy and you can get that fifth year option, it makes sense. I thought it was more surprising that Xavier Leggett snuck in too. Right behind him to the Panthers. That surprised me. He was one that I don't think I had even in my top 10. I don't even think he was an honorable mention for us. I know what he did at South Carolina, but if you look at the production, he had like one really, really good year. And a lot of it was yak. There's like some work he needs with the route running. There's some other stuff that I was kind of like, I don't know. He's certainly a fun personality. His interviews are awesome. They're hilarious. He gives some great responses. And of course, everyone,
for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course, everyone loves the accent. You know, I think you can tell what he's saying about 60% of the time. The other 40% you're guessing. But so we'll see how that goes. Another fun receiver personality, Keon Coleman. I thought it was strange. The Bills only drafted one receiver. You kept hearing like they were going to take at least two, maybe three. They only took Keon Coleman. Another guy who had a kind of a fun post-draft. You know, did you see all his stuff with his touring of the Bills facilities? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I saw him doing the one where he was like, caught a touchdown. I got another one. Like, I'm going to run across the field.
He's a character. I'm sure Buffalo's going to love him. I just was surprised the Bills only drafted one receiver, and it was Keon Coleman. I'm not surprised that they took Keon Coleman. He feels kind of like a little bit in the mold of that Corey Davis archetype. I do wonder how they replace Diggs, though. We'll see. We'll see if Coleman's production can match what Stephon Diggs did for them. But all right, give me another thing that surprised you, Joe.
The Eagles, for sure. They did 9 total trades in the draft over those 3 days, which is kind of crazy because, like, I think we saw them go up a little bit, trade back to go back up. It was all wild. They were just all over the place. They didn't know what they wanted to do. Our guy Roseman was just bouncing around like a pinball.
Howie Roseman is not afraid of moving up and down draft boards. 9 trades is a lot. For 3 days, that means he was trading 3 times a day.
Yeah, on average, like, it's wild.
I wonder, we'll have to look this up, what the record is for trades during a draft. See if he broke a record there or not, but that feels like could be. I think for me, the next big surprise was 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Everyone's kind of touched on the Michael Penix, Bo Nix deal, you know, those guys going at 8 and 12 respectively. We knew 4 guys were going to go in that top 10 range with 3 going in the top 3. And then JJ McCarthy, I think everyone expected to go in that top 10. Penix and Nix, you know, people thought maybe. Yeah, but people thought maybe round 1, maybe as high as 12 and then another guy in the teens.
Also true.
And, you know, I just six, you know, half the first 12 picks being quarterbacks was outrageous. And it, it just shows the value of the position, even though people know at best three of those guys are legit and the other three are busts, right? Yeah. Like that's just, if you're looking at the odds over the years, the best case scenario is that three of those guys end up being very good. So, you got an update for us on the trades?
Yeah. So I guess they tied it, the record. With Houston, I guess the year before, and then the Patriots in 1990.
Houston did trade a lot in the 2023 draft, so that makes sense. That actually makes a ton of sense. They remember they traded back into round one on that first day to get
back to back.
Yeah. To make sure they got Stroud and Anderson. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, the six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, pretty shocking. And it set the table for the rest of the draft. Felt like a lot of people got a lot of value later down the road. The last thing I think that was surprising to both of us, Cooper DeJean and Johnny Newton falling out of round one.
Can both you guys explain Johnny to me for Jerzon? I don't know how those two.
I don't know. I noticed I was calling him Jerzon Newton forever, and then I noticed during draft season people just started calling him Johnny, and I was like, okay, Johnny Newton. Maybe that must be the nickname for him. Yeah. So we missed that when we recorded, but just kind of roll with it. Johnny's a little easier to say than Jerzon.
Yeah,
no,
that's for sure.
but Cooper DeJean, he felt like a surefire first round pick. Like his athleticism is off the charts. Mm-hmm. I know people were talking about him like, oh, maybe he's a safety. And so putting him at safety devalues him a little bit because your corners are more valuable. But with that, like, come on. And then Jerzon Newton, it did just come out that now he's having the same foot surgery on his other foot that he had had on, I think it's now on his right that he already had on his left before the draft. Now he's having it on his right after the draft. So that might have been a thing that teams knew, is that he's got these real bad feet, and so people were worried about that. That makes a little bit more sense why he fell. I still haven't found the explanation for Cooper DeJean following, other than there aren't any white corners, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. That must be it.
Yeah.
Or people again think he's a safety and they just don't want to take a safety in round one. But then this feels like
versatility, though, in my eyes. If you can play corner almost and safety.
Exactly like what we said last year about Brian Branch out of Alabama when he fell to round two with the Lions, and everyone was like, oh, that, you know, wow, he should have been a first round pick, and then he was awesome for the Lions. Feel like Cooper DeJean is going to do the same thing for the Eagles, and it's going to be like, how did this guy get to round two? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, transitioning over from surprises to Joe, which team do you think had the best draft?
Well, I really wanted to say the Rams, right? We got Blake Corum. Who else did we get in that first round? There was two dudes. Oh, Braden Fisk. And Jared Verse, right? Those were the first three dudes they picked up. I thought that was crazy. And I think Braden Fisk is going to be a monster. But I wanted to give it to someone else just so we don't look like no homers. So I'm going to take the Eagles. I mean, they got a bunch of defensive talent that they needed over the last couple of years for sure, especially at the defensive back position. And then they got a good depth on the offensive front too with the people they picked up. I couldn't even tell you who they got. I know obviously Cooper DeJean and what they got, Quinyon Mitchell for defense. I don't know about offense. I forgot. Been a while.
Yeah, I know. We wrote these notes right after the draft and now we're finally getting to them. So I had Washington, I think, drafted at least five instant impact players in my mind, five of the top 88 guys on our board, and that is Jaden Daniels at quarterback, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Jerzon Newton, Johnny Newton, if you prefer, at D-tackle. He was one of my favorite D-tackles in the draft. I think my number two guy behind our boy from Texas,
Devondre Sweat. Yeah.
I had Newton and Murphy, the other defense tackle of Texas, like right there at 2-3 behind Sweat. So Newton was probably my favorite three technique in the draft. You know, so as long as he's healthy, love what he brings. Mike Sainristil, the slot corner who we call the Swiss Army knife from Michigan.
Yeah.
Ben Sinnott, the tight end slash H slash fullback from Kansas State, who we comp to Kyle Juszczyk.
Yep.
And Luke McCaffrey, the underrated receiver with NFL ties, obviously his dad being Ed McCaffrey, his brother being Christian McCaffrey. Super duper NFL pedigree, coming kind of under the radar out of Rice, but a guy who's a playmaker there. And a guy who we did mention as an honorable mention receiver when we talked about him. So five impact guys in my mind that they drafted that I think are all going to help. And it's kind of funny. I was thinking about some of the comps for these guys that we had.
Yeah,
a lot of ties to just what the Commanders have going on right now. Like Jaden Daniels, we comp to RG3.
RG3, yeah.
The last kind of savior quarterback in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Newton, we comped to Grady Jarrett, who was coached in Atlanta by Dan Quinn, the new Commanders head coach.
Okay.
Ben Sinnott, we already mentioned, we comped him to Kyle Juszczyk. Well, Adam Peters comes from San Francisco, the new Commanders GM, right? So I just thought there was some funny ties in with a lot of these guys to that Commanders organization and who's there. Just thought that it makes sense that Dan Quinn would want another Grady Jarrett and that, you know, Adam Peters would want Kyle Juszczyk for their offense. Just made a ton of sense. So I thought that was fun. But I think all five of those guys start and or at least play a big role quickly in this first year. You know, another guy that drafted, Brandon Coleman, could factor into their O-line quickly. You know, Jean-Baptiste is an edge rusher with some traits that could blossom as well. So I love what they did here combined with what they did in free agency, like getting veterans like Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. I kind of think, you know, I may say this now, I know it's May, but I think the Commanders could be a playoff team in the NFC with what they did in this offseason. I think they could be kind of a sneaky, like, turn it around quick. Dan Quinn bringing some pedigree, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl as a head coach, had a lot of success in the NFL, and then you give him some vets that know his scheme. You know, you offensively, we'll see what they look like. Obviously, they'll have a brand new system there with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator and Jaden Daniels as the quarterback. But there could be some fun stuff going on there. I think the Commanders could be much improved.
Oh, definitely. And for Johnny Newton, you had him ranked second behind Sweat, and I had him at first for me.
Yeah.
So we definitely liked him for sure.
Okay, which team had the worst draft, Joey?
All right, so this one, like I said earlier, it's tough because I only cared about that first round. We had our mock draft. That's kind of where everything was positioned towards with everything that we'd done up leading to the draft. So I looked at all the teams and all the draft picks they took, and the one that had people that I had no clue about was going to be the Bucks. So I think they had the worst one. And they took people that when we did talk about them, I wasn't really fond of them anyways. So, like, unfortunately, the center dude, I don't know him. Graham Barton, went to Duke. Don't know him. Chris Braswell, I'm pretty sure when we did the edge draft, I left him off my list and chose someone else that was our honorable mention. Tyke Smith, he's a smaller safety, went to Georgia. Don't know him. Jalen McMillan, receiver from Washington. UW. And let's see, Bucky Irving. There we go. We talked about him. He was Oregon running back. They got him in the fourth round. I don't remember. I might have had him like three or four. Let's see. We got Elijah Klein, a guard from Texas. More linemen. Devin Culp, tight end. Like, I don't. It don't ring no bells for me besides two of them dudes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have to just throw it to them, unfortunately. Hopefully, they get improved with their choices. But as far as I know, it looks like a rough start. You know what I mean?
I didn't hate the Bucks draft. I know it wasn't a sexy draft, I guess, is what we're saying. But a lot of the names you mentioned could turn into good players. They could. Tyke Smith was an honorable mention safety for us. Jalen McMillan was kind of outside. There's so many receivers, so it's kind of tough. Played in a really good offense at Washington. Graham Barton, I do like, though. He's got a lot of flexibility. Could play, like, almost all five positions on the offensive line.
He's smart.
Yes. I mean, you went to Duke, man. You got to be smart to go to Duke. played left tackle predominantly in college, but like is okay. probably going to be a guard, maybe a center. So yeah, he's kind of all over the place. Bucky Irving, you know, I kind of liked him as like a scrappy running back, kind of shifty, you know, Tony Pollard type. So I don't think their draft is terrible, but I see what you were saying. There's a lot of, they picked a lot of guys that maybe need a year or two to develop, and we'll see how long it takes them to contribute. Okay. I went with New England. If Drake May is good, then this draft is a win. Right. I really thought he was kind of a boom bust prospect, though. Kind of a scary choice in the top three, if you ask me. I think there were other quarterbacks I liked better. I understand why they did it. Like, honestly, they had to. So they had to pick a quarterback here. I just maybe would have gone with a different one, but I understand. AJ. Like, the traits are there. Like, the top-end traits are there. So I get it. But I don't think any of the other players they drafted were in our top 90 on our board. Like, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker are two receivers they drafted, but I don't think either one of those guys is, like, a true wide receiver one. And they already have a glut of, like, wide receiver two threes on their roster. KJ Osborne, who they signed from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, Pop Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Juju Smith-Schuster. Then you had Jalen Polk and Javon Baker. They have, like, five or six wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes. You know what I mean? They don't have, like, the guy, though.
One guy. Yeah.
I think they're hoping Jalen Polk or Javon Baker turn into that, but I don't know. So I think everyone else that they drafted is a true project. And really, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, is Drake May good or not? If he's not good, this is a terrible draft for them. If he's good, it's probably looked at as a decent draft. But I really didn't like any of their other moves. And Drake May was like number 60 on our board, and he was the only guy they took in the top 90. So I'm really not a huge fan of their drafts in general, obviously. And again, I understand why they took Drake May. I understand why people are a fan of him and why people could see him being successful. I think he's just kind of a real risk it pick. Like, I hope he's good for their sake. You know,
after that. All right, you want to talk who we liked from each team that was selected in the draft, no matter what round it was?
Yes, so we're just going to go favorite pick every team, kind of rapid fire this thing, go through everyone. Hopefully we hit your team. And give you a little feedback. Yeah. Okay, Cardinals. Marvin Harrison Jr., this is the easiest one. They got the number one player on our board with the number four overall pick. He's an instant difference maker, takes the ceiling off for their offense, lifts it. He could be the rookie of the year. Truly, could be the rookie of the year with Kyler throwing him the ball. Okay,
for the Falcons, we got Braylon Trice. Let's see, he was 6 on our pass rusher list, 36th player overall on the big board. He's a big dude, tough guy, real scrappy, 6'4", 245. Let's see, he's going to bully the tackles and should develop nicely with Raheem Morris, who, you know, left our squad.
Yeah, I like this pick a lot. Feel like where they got him, pick 74, he was the number 36th player on our board. A lot of pedigree. Played on a national championship team at Washington. Could be a nice fit with Raheem Morris, who, if you remember, a year ago took a guy in a similar spot in round 3,
Byron Young,
and turned him into a rookie of the year contender. So, next up, Ravens. I got Tez Walker, round 4, pick 113. He has the tools of a high-end number 2 receiver in the NFL, legit 4.3 speed. He was the 51st ranked player on our board. I think he should be an awesome vertical threat in Baltimore. I think it's honestly an upgrade over what OBJ was giving them last year. So
makes sense.
This should be offense. A fun player in that Baltimore offense.
CT ESPN had that one first, OBJ, our Dolphins. But the Bills, we got them. We're taking round 2, pick 33, Keon Coleman, the only receiver they took in the draft. I mean, he was definitely, I think, my top 2. I think he was 2nd, not possible, very 1. Because Marvin Harrison was somewhere up there. But love the kid. We talked about it at the top. All the interview stuff we got with him going on. Just fun dude to watch. He ran a 4.6 at the combine, a little bit slower, but he was the fast dude to run across in the gauntlet. So definitely traits to take over that slot that Stephon had for the Bills.
Yep. Great Keon Coleman pick for them. Did you see the video of their GM Brandon Bean going like, oh yes, when he ran 4.6, because they were like, all right, we're gonna be able to get him now because he ran 4.6. Like they were psyched.
No, I didn't see that. But I saw Nike sent him the hoodies that he was talking about that he got at Macy's. He was like, ooh, I like this one. This one's red. I like it.
All right, Panthers. Round 4, pick 101, Jatavion Sanders. Sanders was our tight end too, if you remember. Our boy Mitch came on and was like, hey, don't disrespect my man, Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. And we did not. We liked him a lot.
He called that one too.
Possesses some of the traits. Yes, yes. Our mock, I had him going at pick 33, and they got him at pick 101 instead. That's awesome value, insane value. And they added a real playmaker for Bryce Young, in my opinion. So I think he has some traits of some of the best tight ends in the league, honestly. So I like this a lot. I think it gives Bryce Young a real playmaker.
Yeah, and for the Panthers, I'm going to take Xavier Leggett. Obviously, we didn't really talk about him or mention him during our thing, but he, you know, he's a South Carolina dude, went to school there, grew up there, you know. Just makes sense. You get the community in there, try to create some buzz with him, whether that way or even just his personality, you know what I mean? So I think that was a good pick for them at that spot. See, for the Bengals, in the 5th round, pick 149, they got Josh Newton. Josh Newton was, he's a corner. Oh, man, I don't even want to be reading your notes like this, acting like I know what I'm talking about. But he was, let's see, it says, but we had him ranked at 60 overall on the board. Once again, great value for the team looking for a press corner who has fluid movement. We got Newton could come in and compete and start right away. And then for me personally, I went with Amarius Mims from Georgia. I said, quite literally a dog, loved the kid. I'm pretty sure I had him first, and it's a great pickup. Oh, and I also wrote, I called it.
You did call that one. Yeah, I mean, going back to Newton, I think he was a little undersized, but once again, like really fluid press cover corner. I think that's a guy that can give them a lot of value coming in the 5th round. The Bears, round 1, pick 9, Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
Bit of an upset considering they took Caleb Williams number 1 overall. I'm sure that was most people's favorite. But Rome was the number 2 player on our board. He's going to be integral to any success Caleb Williams has going forward. True. So I think Roma Dunze is fantastic pick for them. Huge pick there at pick 9. Again, great values. Number 2 player on our board. They got him at 9th.
Yeah. No, and I mean, just more weapons at the receiver position just help spread the ball all around. You know what I mean? Just a great, great choice. See, for the Browns, we got Michael Hall Jr. This was their first pick they had in the draft, round 2, pick 54. So they waited a hot minute to get it. They took Hall Jr., a local kid who shined in the Senior Bowl, which you love watching. And let's see, pick 54. Exactly where that we had him on our board. Some dude was our 54th player on the list, which is nice. Perfect value. And he should be an impact player for their defense off the bat.
Yes, I think the Browns continue to build the offensive and defensive line and make that a strength for themselves. You know, this guy paired with Myles Garrett could be a lot of fun because one of his things that he did well at Ohio State was pass rush. So I am excited to see that. The Cowboys, I have them round 1, pick 29. I'm going to be honest, didn't love the Cowboys draft, but Tyler Guyton picked a little ahead of where we had him. I think we had him at 41 on our board. Still, he should help upgrade the future of this Cowboys offensive line. They've been at their best when they have a dominant O-line, and I think he may take some time to develop, but he projects to be pretty good. Like I said, even though he was picked higher than where we had him on our board, I really didn't like a lot of the Cowboys picks, and this kid I think will be good. He just may need some time to develop.
For sure. I'm gonna let you take your pick on the Broncos because I don't want to butcher his name, his last name especially.
Okay, so round 5, pick 147, Audric Estime. The Broncos had a lot of picks to choose from. that I liked. You know, Jonah Ellis, Troy Franklin were great value picks, but I think the best one was Estime at 147. We had him as the 82nd best player in the draft. I like what he'll bring to the Denver backfield with Javonte Williams. He's a compliment, but also an insurance if that guy gets hurt again.
Which is so often.
Yeah. And you know, we'll see what Sean Payton's always loved having multiple backs though. So it kind of makes sense.
That's true.
And for you me, already have Samaje Perine as well. So like there's three guys that I think are really capable that they're going to be able to use.
Yeah. For me, I took Troy Franklin from Oregon in the fourth round, pick 102. I mean, I said not just a good pick in the fourth round, but huge considering they got a lot of receiver contracts expiring either this year or the next one. And then I said they already got automatic chemistry with Bo Nix having a dude from college with them.
It's very, very good point. Okay, Lions. We're going deep on this one. Round six, pick 189, Mekhi Wingo. You know, this might have been a guy, you know, you might not have been watching the draft at this time, but I'll tell you, I watched it all. And Mekhi Wingo might have been the greatest value pick of the draft based on our board. Wow. We had Wingo as the 45th overall player and the 6th ranked D-tackle. And they got him at 189 and the 15th D-tackle selected. He had some really dominant games at LSU. Had the quickest 10-yard split of any defensive tackle who ran at the combine. Unreal size, great get off. He's going to be a super quick contributor for the Lions. I honestly was dumbfounded when he got past round three, let alone to round six.
Yeah.
There must be something in the background that I don't know about, right? That we don't know about, that we don't have access to somehow, medical or personal. But gosh. To get this guy in round six feels like a steal, like maybe the steal of the draft.
Yeah, that's huge. Considering that's like what we see with like Tom Brady. I don't remember where he was drafted, but I mean, somewhere deep in there comes a star, and everyone's like, "Wow, who would have thought?" Right? See, Texans, they got round three, pick 78, Kalen Bullock. So we really like Bullock after watching his film. We had him ranked 49 overall on our board, and the Texans got him at 78. Great value. See, it would likely be safety number three behind Jimmy Ward and Jalen Petrie. I hope that's his name. But long-term starter potential after some time, for sure.
Yeah. Like Kalen Bullock from
USC. USC.
And yeah. And I think he's just kind of that long-rangey safety. He's going to be awesome in that defense. It feels like everyone's awesome in that defense. I love what D'Amico Ryans does. All right. The Packers. We're going round seven, folks. Yes, all the way in round seven. Pick 255. Kalen King. The truth is, King fell very far compared to where we thought he might go. We projected him somewhere around in round four. His 2022 tape might have had him in rounds one or two. Mm-hmm. And then last year in 23 was not as good. So it becomes one of the last picks of the draft. But I mean, I think it was a great, like, why not pick by the Packers there? Because, like I said, he's got like round one, round two talent. He could end up not just making the team, but like being a legit corner for them in the next few years. I know there's like a drastic change in his tape from one year to the next. And there's probably some other questions that have been asked I guess over that time to cause him to fall around seven, but I think it's a good value pick there to just bet on the talent.
Now, yeah, for me, for the Packers, I liked their pick in the second round at 58, Javon Bullard from Georgia. I think he's a versatile dude, could play corner or safety for them, which I mean ties into the defense, and I feel like they always develop their corners well anyways, like we've seen Savage or even with Jair Alexander. I think they had another one recently too that's like been a star that's gone somewhere else. So great pick for them as well.
I do like Javon Bullard from Georgia. It's a good call. The Colts, round two, pick 52, A.D. Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell gives the Colts guy with the high-end traits to be a legit wide receiver two next to Michael Pittman. He was our fifth wide receiver in the draft, fifth ranked, and we loved his willingness to go over the middle of the field. Kind of love that he's already got the chip on his shoulder that he's wearing the number 10 to represent the number of receivers taken ahead of him.
Oh, that's some big brain right there. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Rams, we talked about him briefly. We got round one, pick 19, Jared Verse. He, you know. I'm going to let you read that one. I know I wrote Fiskin later, but it says, it's a fan side of me, love Blake Corum. I'm going to let you get into that.
Yeah. I mean, the Blake Corum choice to the Rams was a dream come true that I get to see Blake Corum in horns. But I love that pick with my heart, but my head says the Jared Verse pick is the one that will really help the Rams this year. I think they stole him at 19. He was the best pass rusher on our board, number 8 overall player, to get him at 19 and to be the, I think he was the second or third pass rusher selected at that point. I mean, stealing. Yeah. I love that pick.
I guess I didn't write it down, but Braden Fisk in the second round, I liked. I mean, so I don't know if you listen to Bustin' with the Boys, but they had him on and because they were in Florida State. And so they're talking to him and basically just like the way he carried himself, the way he was like answering the questions just sounded like he had similar to like the Aaron Donald mentality, just like underdog. I'm gonna smoke everyone. I don't care who they are. So I thought that one made perfect sense to replace him being retired now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jaguars taking our guy who was on every team possible. They get round one, pick 23, Brian Thomas Jr. Says, we had him ranked a little lower than this. The Jaguars need to give him some help. Or they need to get Trevor Lawrence some help, I'm sorry. Trade him back and then getting him another weapon was smart. And the fact that we had, I'm pretty sure this was the first team we truly said he could probably go here. But since not one of us took him, like it just kept saying every team was going to get him.
Yeah, I mean, this was smart business, trading back and still getting Brian Thomas Jr. I think it was a good job by the Jags. Kind of lessens the sting of losing Calvin Ridley in the offseason, so this is good. This is good for them. The Vikings, round one, pick 10, J.J. McCarthy. I think they found a way to, you know, they only had to trade up one spot. They keep their other first-round pick. And they still get the best quarterback in the draft on our board. I think he's a match made in heaven with Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it puts the Vikings in contention for years to come. I think this was fantastic pick. Fantastic.
See, the Chiefs, round one, pick 28. I had this guy going in this exact spot to a different team. We're going Xavier Worthy. Just says this is a much... This is as much a dream for Xavier Worthy as it is for the Chiefs. Yeah, you get to play with Patty Mahomes. That's kind of crazy, right? See, Patrick Mahomes gets a younger cheetah with more access to the route tree earlier in his career. Perfect pick for KC. Yeah, the dude. This was the fastest dude in the draft, right, for the receivers. Was he the 4.28 or whatever it was? Yeah,
that's wild. Now the Saints. Round two, pick 141, they get pick 41, they get Kool-Aid McKinstry. He was a 26th best player on our board. We love the fit of him in New Orleans with Marshawn Lattimore. Savvy pick for the Saints, not necessarily a need, but the best player, I'm sure, on their board at the time. If you listen to Nick Saban talk about this guy, it should make you feel like, holy crap, the Saints got a steal. Love the pick for the Saints there.
Well, did you hear that he was trying to get Quinyon Mitchell, too, to go to the portal? Mm-hmm. Just a nice little wrinkle to sprinkle on there. But the Raiders, we got round two, pick 44, JPJ, Jackson Power Johnson, the center. Says one of our favorite evals of the year, especially for the O-line for sure. And to help solidify their offense with this pick. Makes perfect sense. You got to protect your quarterback at all costs. And down there in the middle, you got a dude who could facilitate the O-line and do that too.
Yeah, I think I saw something that said they're going to play him at guard initially, so that should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Giants, round two, pick 47, Tyler Newbin, stud. Going to be a long-term starter. They essentially replaced the loss of Xavier McKinney in free agency with this pick in Tyler Newbin, who was our second favorite safety of the draft, or second favorite for me. I think he was your favorite out of Minnesota.
Really? I'm going to go check. I don't remember. That's a tough one. The defensive ones were hard for me. I'm only good with the D-line. Yeah, I'll let you get in the next one because I wrote one down too.
All right, Chargers. Round 3, pick 69, Junior Colson. Think his fit in LA is about even more than just his play at linebacker. It's bringing a guy in who understands what Jim Harbaugh's about, right? It's about a guy who knows, you know, who won a championship with Harbaugh and knows what that looks like. He's going to bring versatility, leadership, nasty attitude. He's everything the Chargers have been missing at linebacker for a while. I think this is going to be a great pick for them.
Yeah, for me, I took Ladd McConkey from Georgia, round 2, pick 34. Makes perfect sense. They get themselves a well-needed receiver and intermediate to deep threat, which we haven't really seen from them. They're more deep balls. They got the tall dudes, let them go. Randy Moss people, you know what I mean? So it'll be nice to see over the middle, like get it to him, make some moves on dudes.
I do think the Chargers knocked those first 3 picks out of the park.
Yeah.
To come away with Joe Alt, Ladd McConkey, and Junior Colson was fantastic for them. The Eagles, round 1, pick 22, round 2, pick 40, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. That's a team addressing a need and doing it with 2 of the 4 best guys at their position in the entire draft. I love the combo of these guys. They turn a weakness into a strength for Philly basically instantly. I love this. This is great. Great job by the Eagles. Dang, Howie Roseman. He did it again.
And then going back to the Giants pick, I did have him 1. I honestly, the name didn't even ring a bell to me, so I was so confused. And then I saw his
picture. There's a lot of guys we eval, man. There's a lot of guys we eval.
And I was like, oh, I do remember this guy. Let's see. For the Dolphins, round 1, pick 21, Chop Robinson says, we love this pick so much that it made our mock draft. Another one, DJ Khaled. So Chop should add to an already good pass rusher duo of Bradley Chubb and Jaden Phillips.
Man, that was a good pick. I love that Chop Robinson mock and mock pick, and it turned out to be true. I kind of just love that for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, round 1, pick 16, Byron Murphy. It's going to be the centerpiece of an awesome Seahawks defense under Mike McDonald. Mm-hmm. I think he's the perfect guy to be on the line of scrimmage for a Seattle team that has struggled to stop the run defensively. They've been very good against the pass for the last 3 or 4 years. They haven't stopped the run. This is going to change that for them. I think Mike McDonald's going to make that an emphasis, and Byron Murphy's going to help. Oof, the Jets. I know we've got 2 here. I'll go here. Round 4, pick 134, Braylon Allen. I just think that's a great compliment to Breece Hall.
Oh, he's a running
Think about
back.
What Aaron Rodgers had in Green Bay those last few years. Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. That's what they'll have now. Okay. They're going to have Braylon Allen, Breece Hall. That's what you're getting now. I think that's a great combo. That's going to help their offense. Braylon Allen is also arguably the best pass protector in terms of running backs in the draft. So that helps Aaron Rodgers a lot. So love that pick. Sneaky one.
All right, so for me, I went round 1, pick 11. I said, the big fella, Obu, from Penn State. I said, come on now. I said in the mock draft, he was the best pass pro tackled that we saw, so I love the pick to help protect Rodgers.
Love it. All right, the Buccaneers, round 2, pick 57, Chris Braswell. Bucs fans are going to love this guy. I think he's a playmaker who was edge number 4 in our rankings. He should be able to generate pressure early and often for Tampa. And it's great value getting the 23rd overall player on the board at 57.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully he could put some pressure on some quarterbacks. That's all I'm going to say. let's see. Steelers, we got round 3, pick 98. Peyton Wilson said a report came back out during the draft that he no longer has an ACL in one of his knees, which is kind of crazy to think about. That explains why our linebacker 1 fell so far. Still, the Steelers' defense now has a playmaker at all 3 levels on their defense, and Wilson would give them flexibility and versatility. That's crazy, though. Just gone? Just nothing in there?
Yeah. I mean, I love the gamble, though, at pick 98 to say, like, well, we could be getting the best linebacker in the draft. We could also be getting him for a year because he has no ACL in one of his knees. But round three is about the time to take that gamble.
Yeah.
The Commanders. I love their entire second round. Johnny Newton, Mike Sandersteel, Ben Sinnott. I talked about this when I talked about, you know, their overall having the best draft. So you know what I think on that. I just think it was clear that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn knew what kind of players they wanted. So I love that. Have a plan, go in and execute it.
Yeah, facts. And all dudes that we talked about, which is even better, all in the second round too. Gotta love that. So the Titans were taking round two, pick 38, to Vondre Sweat. Said we compared him to Vince Wilfork and can prove that he's not. This could be that he's a steal at pick 38. Sorry. See, we had him at 14 on our board. So, you know, big value right there. Plus, what is that? Plus 24. And there, he does have some legal issues that, you know, probably helped him slide down a little bit, but still a great player nonetheless.
I was surprised he went this high. Considering the legal trouble, but like I said, we had him at 14 on our board, so we love him. We think he's Vince Wilfork. To get that guy at pick 38, as long as he stays out of trouble, is great. I got the Patriots round four, pick 110, Javon Baker. Has some elite traits. We thought that could be a third round pick type guy. They drafted multiple receivers here, so we'll see what happens. I did not like the past draft, but Javon Baker could be a good one from this draft.
Yeah, and closest out with the Niners, we got round one, pick 31, Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Let's see, Niners added and already, they added a receiver to their already stacked group of offensive talent. We got Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuels, what was his name? Brandon Jennings? Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Jawan. Oh, man. You know, I was just trying to make a name sound good. and Kyle
Brandon Jennings is the old Bucks point guard. Jawan Jennings.
All those weapons for our guy Brock Purdy. Of course, we could either see him being the replacement for Brandon Ayuk or Debo if one of them gets traded away. Either way, it's a win for the Niners. He pays attention to detail and fits in that Kyle Shanahan offense well. And the rich get richer, in your words. Weapons on weapons.
The dang Niners knocked that pick out of the park. I really love that one for him. Ricky Pearsall should be good in their offense. I think it's a good pick. It's a good pick. He pays attention to detail. Kyle Shanahan loves that. Put those two dudes together. Should be a really good match.
He's a good blocker too, isn't he?
Yes.
Am I not mistaken?
Yes. So that's the draft. We've recapped it. We let you know what we think. We don't do draft grades. I think it's hard to do draft grades. What we may do in a future episode this summer, though, is go back and look at last year's drafts and actually assign the draft grades now that we have had a year to look at it. But we have to bring back everyone's favorite segment pod. The banger of the week is back. It went away during draft season. It's back now. Jody, what do you have for your banger of the week this week?
All right. So for me, this one, so when I was in Arizona, I was hanging out with Mitch and he was like, "You like beef jerky?" I was like, "Yeah, bro. That's like the only snack I eat outside of like the normal food I have on the day to day." He's like, "All right, bet. I'm going to show you this one." So he brings out a big bag. It's a pound worth of beef jerky. He was like, "The only thing that like kind of bad about it is it's $36 for this bag." But he's like, "But it's a full pound, so it's good." And so basically what it is, I called it Mexican beef jerky because the only time I had the beef jerky that's made like this was in Mexico. And basically, it's called carne seca is what I typed in on Amazon to find it. And basically, it's just beef jerky. It's a lot more rough. Like, you gotta like fight it to like break it off. But it's so good, bro. I've been munching on that thing like crazy. I bought two bags because one of them said it's gonna arrive a whole week later, and I was like, no, I want it now, bro. So I bought another bag before, and then they got here 2 days apart, which is dumb, but. Munching on that stuff like crazy. I that's when you saw me run back there before we started. I was grabbing a piece. I was like, man, I need some. I'm not gonna eat until we're done. Like, I gotta get another piece.
Gotta have that beef jerky.
Yeah, bro, that's so good.
All right. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of going to see The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in IMAX. That's new. Yes. Banger. 100% recommend. Go see it. See it in IMAX too. You know, get the full experience. Yeah. Have the popcorn and the chocolates. And it's like the second or third time I've been back in a movie theater in the, like, the last few years. I went and saw Dune Part 2 in the movie theater as well earlier this year.
Did you get the bucket?
Nah, just the bag. Just the bag. Nah. But went and saw Dune Part 2 and remembered, like, why I enjoyed going to the movie theater before.
Yeah.
And now I went back for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and it was good. It was real good. I enjoyed it.
Is Caesar still in it?
No. If you remember, this isn't a spoiler. Caesar dies at the end of the third one.
Oh, dang. I don't remember that then.
I highly recommend. I highly recommend going back and watching the first three, because that's what I did. So Jill had not seen any of them, so we watched the first three together, and then she was hyped to see this one, so it was cool. But basically, they kind of like reset the story with this one a little bit.
Is it still insane?
It's good. So I haven't been able to confirm this, but I think it's in like SoCal, because there's like a little thing that says Coronado. Like, there's like a base almost, and I think it says Coronado, so I think it's in San Diego, essentially.
That's crazy.
And it looks like the Southern California coast line. Okay. So in some of the shots, so I think that's where it is, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
For sure. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I like that series for sure.
It's good. It's very good.
Because that was like all of high school, and where all the other ones came out. So I was like, I gotta check that out for sure.
COVID slowed the production on this one like everything else in the world. I think that's it. That wraps us up. Appreciate you sticking with us, even though we took a little mini 3 month or 3 week vacation. And anticipate, you know, this summer. We're talking schedules and things like that now. We may have less content, but we want to make quality over quantity this summer is kind of how we're approaching things. So if you're a steady listener, don't think we're just going away from it entirely. We just may be, you know, every other week instead of every week, bringing you some more stuff. We're planning on having some different guests on for some interviews, things like that. So we want to give you some different content this summer than we ever have, and we got big things coming.
Facts. But till then, we got our guy, Ray. Taking this out. I turned on the news one day and seen that the whole world gone crazy. Seeing people killing, seeing people dying off for no reason. Maybe we lost our way. I know someday we'll be okay. We gotta stand up and make a change. And realize that we all the same and we all just human. Glued to the phone, oblivious to what's going on. I be writing songs, hoping that they right my wrongs. People crying out for help, but nobody here. Unless somebody turn up dead, then nobody care. Being aware is considered a rare commodity. We living in democracy, overflow with hypocrisy. One-sided mind, signing up to coach the game. How you supposed to make a change if you still think the same? I believe everybody got an angel to understand the situation, look at both angles. I was taught to put myself in my opponent's shoes for a minute and see how you would react to you. I turned on the news one day and seen that the whole world gone crazy. I seen people killing, seen people dying off for no reason. Maybe we lost our way. I know someday we'll be okay. We gotta stand up and make a change. And realize that we are the same and we are just. You don't got money, they don't care how they treated you. You ain't important if you ain't popping on the media. Pretty soon, honey's gonna be looking for a like and a for a follow and a fade for a swallow. Man, I feel hollow when I'm saying, but I promise at the rate we going, I ain't playing. I'm trying to speak on the platform, ain't worried about a fortune. I don't think a man could tell a woman about abortion. Who are you to act and judge like you the man above? Same sex, but God want them to feel the love. They say he never make mistakes, so I ask why when I turn on the TV and see another kid die. I turned on the news one day and seen that the whole world gone crazy. I seen people killing, seen people dying off for no reason. Maybe we lost our way. I know someday we'll be okay. We gotta stand up and make a change. Realize that we are the same and we are just human.
ain't better than the next man. The only difference with me is I can see the effects, fam. Find a way to get some peace, man. This life is lethal. At the rate we going, I'm afraid to watch the sequel. And I ain't trying to pump gas in this situation. I just write what I observe in this occupation. Hoping to open eyes and you realize what real eyes can see and not as kills lies.
I turned on the news one day and seen that the whole world gone crazy. I seen people killing, seen people dying off for no reason. Maybe we lost our way. I know someday we'll be okay. We gotta stay.